This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. On Saturdays at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center here in Los Angeles, the elevators stop at every floor so that observant Jewish patients don't have to push the buttons on the Sabbath. The hospital helps devout patients of all faiths, even Jehovah's Witnesses, who reject certain treatments. That's where Dr. Michael Lill comes in. He's a blood cancer specialist who treats Jehovah's Witnesses despite a lot of complications.
And here is something else about Dr. Lill.
I'm on the atheist side of the agnostic fence.
So what moves a non-believer to serve the deeply religious? Here is the first of a series of profiles on healthcare workers. NPR's Patty Naiman spent a day with Dr. Lill.
The beginning of the day, like Michael Lill himself, is low-key but intense. With boxing gloves and a piercing stare, Lil circles his opponent as they spar. He's good at it, he's rugged, and seems to thrive on the potential danger. As a young man, Lil played Australian rules football, which is like a wild combination of rugby and U.S. football without the padding.
I've always enjoyed a strong physical contact, and now that I'm approaching 50, there's also a certain middle-aged male desire to be able to compete with younger men in their 20s and 30s. But that's, you know, that clearly wasn't the case when I was actually 30.
It's also the kind of physical and mental training that helps Lil stay focused through his day. An hour later, as he walks into Cedars-Sinai Cancer Institute, Dr. Michael Lil grabs a cup of coffee. He never gets to actually drink it, but cup in hand, he moves quickly through a maze of halls, takes an elevator, and ends up in a patient unit where Jay Winger lies on a bed face down.
Okay, just try and relax a little bit there if you can. You're all sort of tensed up on the bed. So take... I know, that's tough. Take a couple of breaths in through your nose. Blow them out through your mouth.
Lil inserts a needle deep into the hip bone and turns it almost like a corkscrew to draw up a vial of bone marrow. A half hour later, the patient is sweaty and exhausted.
I think this is probably about as much as we can manage just with local anesthetic.
Lil washes his hands, something he'll do dozens of times throughout this day, and heads down the hall, this time taking the stairs.
The difficulty today is that I'll need to see 15 patients in the hospital and then have a clinic with 15 patients in the clinic. And that'll mean in order to see the patients up here, I'll have to come back after I finish my clinic and continue ward rounds at 7 o'clock tonight.
But first, there are rounds with residents to discuss the patients who are here for bone marrow transplants.
So this is Sean Miller presenting patient Ruth Medina. She is a 25-year-old female Jehovah's Witness here for an autologous stem cell transplant for a Jehovah's Witness protocol.
Ruth Medina is unusual because her religion forbids any medical treatment that uses blood or blood products.
For me, it's the sanctity of blood. Blood is the life of a person.
That means Medina will refuse a blood transfusion. But she's here for a bone marrow transplant to treat Hodgkin's lymphoma. And transfusions are typically given to boost patients' strength and help them survive the transplant.
How are you doing today?
I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Ruth Medina's bald from recent chemotherapy, but she sits upright in her bed, looking strong and beautiful in her bluish gown. She says she's completely comfortable with her decision to say no to a blood transfusion, even to save her life.
We actually don't ever even sit around and cry about it. We're always so optimistic about it. We know that it's something that I can get over. I have a lot of strength.
Medina came to Cedars because Dr. Lil decided to buck the system and give Jehovah's Witness patients a chance against cancer by performing bone marrow transplants.
Many of my colleagues think that I'm slightly crazy to be doing this, and they're more than happy to refer their Jehovah's Witness patients to me.
Other doctors won't risk it because they worry patients might die without a transfusion. But when Dr. Lil examined the actual statistics, he found most patients didn't really need them. He decided to conserve patients' blood and make the need for transfusion even less likely.
What we do for our Jehovah's Witness patients is that the blood tests go into pediatric tubes, so we don't use as much blood. We don't draw the blood from the central line, so we don't throw away that first tablespoon. We don't do as many blood tests.
Since the program began 6 years ago, Cedars has performed so-called bloodless transplants for 21 Jehovah's Witnesses.
In my capacity as a healer, I am not a technician. We are supposed to be treating the whole human being, and that involves an understanding of their spiritual aspects as well as the mechanical, technical aspects of deciding what dose of chemotherapy I give for what particular indication.
Lil's decision to treat these patients is motivated not only by respect for their beliefs, but also by Lil's own philosophical commitment.
I think amongst our most important set of core values in the United States are the philosophy that comes out of the Enlightenment, and a key part of that came out of so many people killing each other in such horrible ways for so many hundreds of years in the middle of Europe over religious issues.
So for Lil, it simply comes down to this.
Individuals get the right to make their own choices, even if they're bad choices.
It's dark outside, around 6:30. Dr. Lil has one last patient to see, a 35-year-old mother of two who's worked the past year and a half, even though she has leukemia.
She's a very strong, vigorous lady, and she used to get herself discharged from hospital as early, as fast as she could, so she could go back and continue to do her house cleaning stuff, so she could get the money to support her children. And it's not at all clear what's going to happen with that entire family dynamic now.
As Lil turns to walk into her room, his eyes look worn. He shakes his head. The patient has had a severe stroke, and Lil knows she will die soon.
It's a very sad end to the day.
Lil hunches, walks slowly down the hall to his car and then home. It's always painful, he says, when patients die. And it should be. Lil says doctors shouldn't ever get to the point where they no longer connect to their patients. And for him, that empathy grew even stronger a few months ago when he was diagnosed with cancer. Cancer of the appendix is rare. Not a lot is known. In the best case, after surgery and chemotherapy, Lil says he's looking at a nearly 90% chance of survival. But just talking chances, he says, has been sad for everyone.
My daughter, just before she went to bed, sort of burst into tears. So I had to, she's almost 17 now, so she doesn't do this very often. So I had to hold her, and that was really one of the more difficult moments, was holding her while she wept for about 20 minutes and putting her to bed, and then kind of went outside and wept for myself for about half an hour.
But forcing himself to talk frankly, openly, with both his daughter and son, has somehow made coping easier.
Hasn't changed their behavior all that much, but I think that it's not like they suddenly start tidying up their bedroom. But I think that it's demystified it for them, and therefore also removed a lot of the emotional power of the unknown and the danger of everything when you don't know what's going on. So I think that's been a very, very helpful thing for myself, and I think it's probably something that people could do more often than they do.
Dr. Michael Lil runs the bone marrow transplant program at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. I'm Patty Namond, NPR News.